Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Greg.
This is Chuck.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, the podcast that is all back together again. Greg's off special assignment. I'm here. I know we've been having a lot of breaks recently. I was sick last week, so we are back and better than ever, though, as we get into one of our favorite things to do here, which are drafts. And we're going to have a super loser draft coming up in our second segment as we try to draft the dumbest and ridiculous characters that have ever existed in comics in our second half of the show. But before we get to all that fun, how's things been going for you guys?
Things are pretty good. I've been doing stuff lately, so nothing too eventful. But I went to a couple of these like free concert things that are in our area, and they're basically like they're like tribute bands, and like every week there's like a different tribute band that plays. And I went to a couple of them with some coworkers and stuff. We went to one; it was an Aerosmith tribute band, and they were okay. They had a couple of the songs they did a pretty good job on, and some of them they didn't, and they were playing like other band songs and stuff. I'm like, no, that's not what you do.
We think Aerosmith would also like this music.
Then they were doing like a drum solo and a saxophone solo. It was just really weird, but it was fun.
Throwing in different instruments that never existed in Aerosmith. They have a violin and an oboe. It's weird, but
I'm like, yeah. I don't remember a saxophone solo, any Aerosmith song. That I could be wrong, but I don't know.
Gotta listen to Love in the Elevator again.
They did do that one, and that was pretty exciting. That was like one of the better ones that they performed. So, they did Ragdoll, and a couple other ones were really good. So then a couple weeks later, we went to another one, and that was the Beatles. And that was like, let me just say, as far as the audience goes, that was a totally different crowd than the Aerosmith people. I mean, these people were like way older. It was just so much more mellow. Everyone's just standing there instead of dancing. Totally different crowd. But
how many of the people that were there thought it was actually the Beatles?
I don't know. Probably a lot. They had like, it was weird, like these guys went all out, like they had the haircuts down, they had the outfits, like they were, like they thought they were the Beatles. And they were okay, I mean they did okay, but for the most part I think they were, I would agree to them worse than the Aerosmith one. But these are free events, and so you really can't ask too much.
Yeah.
It's at the local casino by us. Just the local casino right around the corner.
Which is actually a tribute casino to the movie Casino, which is weird.
If you don't pay your bill, they take you in the back and smash your fingers with hammers. That was probably the exciting part. Other than that, I've watched a little bit of preseason football, kind of getting psyched up for that, and trying to figure out my strategy for fantasy football drafts and stuff like that. So a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, I had my first fantasy football draft. It was unexpected. My wife tells me like the day before, one of her coworkers wants me to join her fantasy football league. I'm like, wait, what? The draft's tomorrow. I'm like, you can't just spring that on somebody. Yeah, I mean, what type of league is it? Is PPR? Is there a flex position? She's like, I don't think they know.
You gotta come up with strategy. You gotta you need time to game plan.
Apparently, from that league, it sounds like Dan insta win.
Right.
but
auto draft in.
yeah. Well, there was there was a lot of people who I think who did auto draft. Well, it was interesting because it was the amount of quarterbacks that went the first round was unexpected, and then it kind of just kind of threw me off. But I think I did okay. I got AP in the second round, so that was unexpected. I don't go in running back, but I'm like, if he's there in the second round, I'm taking him. So
yeah, you already win.
Yeah, but Craig, you were off last week. I know you had a lot of things going on. So how was your trip to Boston Comic Con?
It was very good. It was definitely very different than the cons that I'm used to. It was a weird kind of mix of things. It was like very much half vendors and half artists and that such. And it was a little low on like the celebrities and stuff, but that's totally fine by me because I don't really concern myself much with them after experiences with Lou Ferrigno and Peter Mayhew. But I actually did have a run-in with a celebrity, almost literally. Apparently, John Barrowman was walking behind me, and I heard somebody like, "Oh, Mr. Barrowman, would you like to buy any of our stuff?" And he's like, "No, I have enough stuff, thank you." And then apparently he thought he bumped into me with his bag, but he didn't come even close. And so he kind of like touched me on the shoulder. He's like, "Oh, sorry, bud." So that was kind of cool.
And you were like, "Merlin, you have failed the city."
No, I was like, "Oh," in my head, I was like, "Oh, that was really nice of him."
You fall down in like in pain. It's like, "Nah, here's my lawyer's number." Oh, jeez.
No.
I think your TV daughter is hot.
Very hot. I think my brother was kind of like right behind me, next to him, and everything. So. That was the cool celeb experience. Got a whole bunch of comic books signed. I got a whole bunch of artwork from that. I got a bust of Huck from Ralph Albuquerque. I've got an interior page of a Harley Quinn comic that just came out. I got an interior from it from Billy Tucci. And he like even put like a little thing that it was his first Harley Quinn art sale at the bottom. He put a little inscription for me with my name and stuff. So that was cool. Then my brother and I also got a lot of stuff at the comic art auction. I was surprised that my brother bid as much as he did because he's not a big comic fan. He got a really nice Harley Quinn piece. I got this huge zombie Batman painting, these very cool Ninja Turtle drawings, like little heads and everything. I did try and go for a Terry Dodson piece, but that got a little bit past my money cash flow there. So it was definitely a good con overall. I was very happy with how everything went. It's a lot of walking around and stuff, but it was a lot of fun. I wish I kind of skipped the... after Stark after party.
Was it really called a Stark after party?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
And they had a guy dressed as Tony Stark there and everything. He was good until he took his glasses off or spoke, because he had a bit of a Boston accent, you could tell. And when he took the glasses off, it kind of ruined the illusion look wise and everything. But it was fun to see, but I wasn't feeling too well that night because we ate and then we got in a cab because it was raining that night. And it was the first time I've ever been in a cab, and it was a little bit too crazy all over the place. So my stomach wasn't quite settled, so I didn't feel like being there. I was tired. I was kind of nauseous and everything. But, yeah, I dropped a shit ton of money in Boston. And I got a lot of cool stuff. If you follow me on Twitter, or if you find my comic art fan page, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I got that you could see on there.
I think I'll put in the episode post at geekcastradio.com to also check out the stuff that you got. So
cool.
If you don't mind,
no,
of course.
No, that's cool. It's there to see.
The big question: did you find any more vintage X-Men comics?
No, I haven't. I've kind of been on the stall on that recently. I haven't
the other stuff.
Well, I've been kind of on a comic art tear, because even for Baltimore that we're going to, I have three commissions already hooked up, and then for New York City, I have one signed up for. So I've been on a comic art tear lately.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, this is the podcast we record before Baltimore Comic Con, and definitely excited for that. I was checking out the panel schedule. There's actually a bunch of them that I'm going to check out. There, Tom King, the current writer of Batman's having a panel, and a bunch of like DC and Marvel and Valiant, Boom, IDW, they're all having panels as well. So there's just that's going to be really fun. Let me backtrack a little bit, but you were talking about getting comics signed, and a few weeks ago, now as we're recording, actually had ended up having a comic book scare, in the sense of I get a call from my wife, indicating that where I keep my comics, the ceiling's leaking.
Oh no!
So I'm like, oh no! And she's like, yeah, the bottom box is definitely ruined. It's like, you know, you got water damage on the outside of it. So I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. But, I mean, I felt like this actually happened around the same time. There's Ellicott City, which is an area near us, got, like, demolished. It had this, like, freak accident. So, like, that entire city was destroyed. People lost their businesses. So I felt like I can't be that upset about comic books, considering what those people were going through in hindsight. So I'm like, But actually ended up being okay. The box did its job, and all the comics in there were fine. I just have to get – they're just now in a laundry basket as I'm trying to, you know, waiting to get a new box. But it was interesting because it was like I haven't gone through some of these comics in such a long time. And then I was looking through my Cable and Deadpool set and excited because Fabian Nienza is going to be at Baltimore Comic Con. So I'm like, I can get a lot of these signed. So that's something
cool
I have planned on doing.
I just found out from a tweet from Baltimore Comic Con that they're also having an art auction.
Nice. Yeah. So what is an art auction? What is that? Entails it's literally just some dude putting up art and you people yelling at money, like yelling at money, jeez, like yelling at prices and stuff like that. Was it intense? Was it like what is that show called where they bid on things at the Storage Wars? Is it like Storage Wars but with art? You know, this is gonna be a reality TV show, is what I'm asking.
So we get in there and it's kind of like theater seating for kind of like a college or something like that. You get in there, and it wasn't that packed yet. Nobody really showed up in force yet. So they kind of let you go up, and they had the art all kind of displayed on these shelves and everything, and you kind of look through and looking to see what you want to get and everything. And then they had you go over to a table, and there was two ladies working on laptops, and you grabbed a number off the top of the pile, and you told them your name. My brother and I went off the same number. We were number 5. That's how early we were into this thing. Then we went and sat down, and it was a non-professional guy doing it. They kind of switched between 3 people doing the auction. It was the guy that was running the auction, then he had to leave, and then David Peterson came in, creator of Mouse Guard, and he did his. They were both hilarious. David Peterson was definitely a little bit more was a little bit better with the facts about the pieces and everything and describing them. And then for the last like couple of random garbage auction pieces, this other random dude came out of the crowd and did it. I didn't understand that, but essentially you sat there. They would start it off. Usually they started off in this one around $25, so it was really cheap, and so a lot of hands went up, and so then it was like 50, and then we'd get a little bit fewer, and so it would be like 50, one person throw up the thing, then they throw out an, okay, do I hear 75, and then somebody might, or they might talk about the piece a little bit more, but essentially, if you're the last one with the bid in and everything, and they going once, going twice, sold, and you'd just have to show them your number again, 005. They'd say that out loud for the ladies. The ladies would mark that piece down for you and everything. So it wasn't that difficult to do. My brother was like getting applauds whenever he did his bidding, because the first piece he was bidding on, he was like really working it well, I guess, and so he was getting applause. I got some applause in there every once in a while. We both did buy a lot of stuff. I think we both, between the both of us, we dropped $2,000.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, but we felt like we were getting a lot of good deals on stuff. Like the Turtles one, I got it for like $25 cheaper than the artist estimated on that. There was another piece that was like I got for $75,
and the artist estimated it at 150. I got that Batman painting. I think that was only like 100. There was a whole bunch of stuff like that that it was like, really, it's going this cheap. And I bought a thing of comic books if I can't sell them on eBay because I just got them really cheap. It was like four of those blank sketch covers with original art, and one of them's like a little kid that did it, but he does the con circuit and everything. I'm going to put those on eBay and everything and see if I could sell those and make a little bit of money back off of those and everything. And then I also sell that Ashley Riot piece because that was like, I got it for $75. Like, she estimated it at 150, and it's really a nice looking piece. It's not of a subject matter that really interests me, but I just got it for the investment because I could figure I could sell that off to somebody and make a couple of bucks there. So there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. My brother got like a pack of prints from different people around the floor. He got it for like $35, and they're like, these people were selling them on the floor for like $20-$25 a piece, and he got them that cheap. Nice. Yeah, because the auction was starting to clear out at the end. There wasn't a lot of people. So it, like, we were, and like afterwards, the couple of the guys that were on the show were like, yeah, you guys ran away with it at the end there. Like, especially, they're like, you got a lot of good things for cheap and everything. And it went to a good cause. It was a charity auction kind of thing.
So you can also write it off on your taxes. So there you go.
Yes. You're not getting a ton back, but you can write it off on your taxes.
Well, not something necessarily that you got, but what was the highest thing someone bought at that auction? Like the most expensive?
Oh, there was a gorgeous Brian Stelfreeze painting. I forget how much it was, but it was definitely over 2K. I think it was encroaching on 3,000. It was a beautiful painting of Rey from Star Wars. It was just gorgeous, and that was going for a lot. That was definitely the most prized piece. The second most prized piece, I believe, was by one of the guys that I got a commission from, Marcio Takara. I haven't really heard his name a lot, but I think we're going to be hearing more from him. He had an awesome Batman piece that was it was the newer Batman where he has the little robot thing. It's actually Jim Gordon inside like a mechanized suit, and then in a reflection in his visor, you could see like the whole Justice League kind of distorted M.C. Escher style in the helmet and everything. And that one went for a couple of grand as well. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I recommend people checking out that kind of stuff because that was I had a lot of fun during that. There was something else I was going to say, but it's not coming to me right now. So I might chip in later randomly with something.
Hey, you know, that's why we podcast, right?
Exactly.
So, I had a question for you, Craig.
Sure.
That I remember you were telling me about that little like mixer thing with the artist that was supposed to be before the con. How was that?
The drink and draw, they were not well organized for it at the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, we went in and they're like, you're early. And I'm like, going to my head, it's a whole bunch of nerds. We're early for a lot of things. Like, they should have had it set up beforehand, like, and everything. So they're like, okay. And like, we just kind of came in and sat down. My brother and I got a seat at a table. But then, like, we're encroaching on the time when the artists are coming in, and you can't sit there. The artists have to sit there. So we got kicked off the table that we were sitting at. Yeah. So that was awesome. A cool thing about that, though, is Terry Dodson stole my seat. He didn't know he stole my seat, but he stole my seat.
But you told him anyways. You're like, so I was sitting there. That's my spot.
No. Right. I didn't do that. I was telling one of the other artists about it. I'm like, it's cool though. It's Terry Dodson. He's really awesome. But I had a nice chat with Terry Dodson, and I went around talking to watching Jimmy Palmiotti screw around. It was freaking hilarious. He tried to draw a side shot of Harley Quinn's face that he just after a while was like, eh, screw it. And then he kind of blanked out, and then he just drew a pair of boobs, which the pair of boobs did sell at the auction the next night.
Of course.
It was pretty freaking hilarious. But yeah, I watched Stan Sakai draw something. Aaron Laprezzetti, Terry Dodson. And then there was a lot of unknowns kind of in there, but there was some interesting stuff getting drawn. I know there was like they had some kind of the DeviantArt was like holding the auction and everything, or holding the drink and draw. And like they had like these little pamphlets and everything for the artists on their tables. And like one of the artists opened up this little pamphlet and like they had something written in there like, "We make lines" or something. And somebody drew a Pikachu with a bong and they changed the wording. And they added like a couple letters onto the end and it's like said, "We do lines of coke" or something like that. So that was pretty freaking hilarious, and my brother actually has that piece now because he won that in a batch auction for really cheap. He got some really cool stuff from that, from the drink and draw.
Nice. So that was just like something that was part of the con?
Yeah, it was across the street at a hotel bar. They needed to up their game with the booze they had. They didn't have a lot of great beers and stuff, but... Yeah, they need a little bit more room and everything to kind of get around, and they needed to plan it out a little bit better. I'm not sure if this is like the first time they've had it or what, but they needed to. And also, there was one guy working there that looked like a homeless man, so that was pretty interesting.
Nice. That wasn't also the guy that was playing Tony Stark, was it?
No.
Yeah, nice. Funny. There you go. I know the one thing you guys also got a chance to do. I haven't seen it yet. Hadn't had the opportunity, but I know both of you did see Suicide Squad, and I'm actually hearing a lot of different opinions. I know critically it didn't do that well. I know people who said it was much better than Batman v Superman. I saw people who were disappointed. Like it just runs the gamut of opinions. Chuck, I guess maybe I'll start with you. What were your actual overall thoughts of Suicide Squad?
I'm still trying to get over that you haven't seen it yet.
I wanted to, and then I've been working every weekend, and I just haven't had the time, so. And then the fact that it didn't have the greatest, like I'm not hearing the greatest reception for it. I'm like, I can wait. I wasn't really that inclined to go see it. So it's just, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say, I know I mentioned a couple of episodes ago when the second trailer for it came out. I mentioned that I was not fond of the second trailer and it sort of made me less excited for the movie. And to a degree that sort of held true. Like there were a lot of things I was disappointed in, but also on the same token, I think it sort of lowered my expectations, which was good because in a lot of ways it was actually better than I thought it was going to be too. So had kind of a dual edged effect there, but I think, you know, overall I walked away like sort of mixed feelings, but overall I had fun with it. I had a lot of fun. It was a really cool movie to experience and everything. I thought the character interaction, the team interaction was spectacular. I loved what they did with that. They sort of like, it's a tough job to do. There's all these, you know, just misfits that don't really know each other. And I thought they really brought them together well and actually like kind of had them like bonding a little bit. And that's sort of a tall order with when you get this big of a variety in characters and personalities and stuff like that. But I think actually they did a really good job sort of blending their personalities together and almost like making them sort of like a little family, if you will. So that part I really enjoyed a lot. Will Smith I thought was awesome. I was really impressed with his portrayal of Deadshot. He was probably my favorite character in the whole movie. I guess there's some Batman appearances, which I think we already knew. Those I was very happy with. I was not disappointed at all. So that was pretty cool. That was a plus. I will say the biggest negative thing for me, there was a couple bad things, but the biggest negative for me was this whole plot with the main bad guy in the movie. And I won't say too much, Dan, because you haven't seen it yet, and for anybody else that hasn't, but it seemed like the main villain was a little bit too far-fetched compared to, like, the characters in the other characters in the movie. Like it just sort of seemed inconsistent. You know, you have all these like street level people and then you have this villain that's just like a whole another level, and a lot of weird, really, really weird things were happening. And for me, it was sort of jarring when they would go back and forth to like showing what was going on with the villain I mean, they're all villains, but the main villain, it was sort of jarring going back and forth from that to the team interaction of Suicide Squad. Those were my favorite moments, and I was kind of like almost disappointed when they would cut away and go to the villain. So that was something that I wasn't too happy about. I thought they could have done a better job with that, maybe even chose a different character altogether, I think, possibly. And I was also a little bit disappointed in Joker. I don't think he really quite pulled it off like I was hoping. I realize it's a totally different take, and I'm cool with that, but I just think it came off like kind of forced in a way. Like, I think I don't have a problem with what they were trying to do. I think it just could have been done a little bit better, I guess. I don't know. I could be the only one that feels that way, but I don't really have, I guess, the articulation to put into words like what exactly I didn't like about it, but it just didn't pass the sniff test. Like, it just didn't seem like he pulled it off all that well. So yeah, those are sort of my reactions.
I'm hearing conflicting reports regarding how much Joker is actually in the movie. I heard that he's barely in it. Is that accurate? Is he not really get much of him?
I would say it's closer to that. I didn't think he was in it that much. I mean, yeah. There's a handful of scenes, but some of them are very short. And then, you know, there's times where he's just non-existent in the plot at all, and you kind of forget about him and stuff like that. So to me, I sort of felt like the trailers were kind of misleading.
Yeah.
And they're trying to advertise this, you know, this big villain, and like, yeah, we got the Joker. And then it's like, you know, he wasn't really a big part of the whole thing. So to me, I kind of felt like you kind of got the shaft a little bit because they're kind of like misleading you, but
yeah. Yeah. That's disappointing. So Greg, is he alone? Do you agree with his assessment on the Joker as, were you disappointed in that performance? And what did you think of Suicide Squad as a whole?
Joker? Yeah. I could have done without that version of Joker. It didn't really add in anything interesting to the character. It just kind of made him more of he was just kind of a boring psychopath. He didn't really have anything interesting to him like the other iterations has given him. But as for the movie overall, I thought it was a fun movie. It was definitely not a technically sound movie. I think a lot of the actors did a really great job. Will Smith did really good. I think that's kind of the Will Smith we've been missing and everything. And I thought Margot Robbie was fantastic as Harley. She was definitely a lot of fun and definitely the character that made the movie great for me. There was definitely a lot of things that didn't connect or make sense. It was kind of like the Batman versus Superman problem, but a lot less toned down, but at least fun. So that made it enjoyable. But I recommend it to people. I think if you're into comic books and that kind of stuff, I think it would be good to check out. So I definitely think you should check it out, Dan. Love to hear your synopsis because you usually run off way off base from what Chuck and I are usually saying. So
I mean, Chuck
well,
and I
it's a
pretty...
different you. You have yeah. a different perspective because you're so into movies and you go to movies that wouldn't even come on Chuck and my radar.
Yeah. I tend to watch them upside down, which is why I get that different perspective.
Gotta worry about blood flow that way.
You do. That's why, you know, after a certain period, you just kind of black out and you don't know what you're saying. So
I will agree with Greg. I thought Margot Robbie did a great job. I was really skeptical about how she would do, but I was pretty happy with it. I think she made it fun. You know,
yeah,
it was very funny,
she did.
Right? So.
I was surprised how many times they showed her butt. That's coming from me.
See, I didn't think it was that much. Like,
showed it constantly. It was always, if it wasn't directly on screen, you could usually see something every once in a while in the background going
well, that's,
on.
That's kind of what I mean. I think it was more in the background all the time. Like, it wasn't like the focal point of the shot, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
but it was still a lot of butt. I appreciate it, but
yeah, I heard a lot of people talking about it, and I thought, like, I'm going in there like, oh, it's gonna be like everywhere, it's gonna be like in the foreground, but it really wasn't like that. There was only like maybe two times where, you know, they really were trying to bring your attention to it. But
For some people, maybe you didn't need to do much to do that. So yeah, that could also be.
Yeah, I was kind of looking for it. So
it's like, where's Waldo? But you know,
yeah. Where's Harley?
There it is.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so I do look forward to checking it out. I do want to see it, but I haven't. It's been getting harder and harder to go to the movies. So I got to pick and choose. And I was going to go to drive-in again, like we went to see Jason Bourne, but it wasn't showing there. So. But one thing I did see, and I won't go in depth, one thing I did read, I should say, since I was kind of sick and kind of just laying in bed for a little bit, I was, you know, took some time to read some comics because what makes you feel better. And I read a bunch of stuff, but one thing I did want to touch base on, I talked about Rebirth last episode, and so I figured only, you know, equal time to talk about Marvel's big event and with Civil War II. I caught up on a number of the issues, some of the side issues overall. I don't know, Greg, have you read any of Civil War II yet?
Yeah, I've actually read quite a bit. It's actually one of the more favorite things that I've read that's by Brian Michael Bendis, but I have not read the ending yet, so.
Yeah, well, they just added another issue to it, so.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, well, there's going to be a delay because the artist just had a child, so, you know, he's getting harder for him to get out of the book, but then they added another issue, so.
Who's the artist? Is that... Oliver Copiel, it's not Jimmy Chung, because I think Jim Chung is on the new Clone Saga thing going on.
I will find
out. I think it's Oliver Copiel. I really like his artwork.
Yeah, I will say, like, the artwork, like, man, it is beautiful. Like, it's one of the best-looking books that I've seen. Like, it's just, like, next level. It's David Marquez is the artist.
Okay, yeah, not familiar with him, but his artwork is really nice.
Oliver Coppell did the Zero issue, so maybe that's
why. Oh, okay, yeah. I love his stuff. I actually have an interior that he did.
Yeah, David Marquez, some other stuff he did. He did All New X-Men, Fantastic Four, Invincible Iron Man, seeing if there's anything else of note. Some Ultimate comics, but yeah, I feel like, like I said, I'm not super familiar with his work, but... His work in this is phenomenal, and the basic premise of it is that, you know, the Inhumans, because they are everything about Marvel, have a new Inhuman who has the ability to basically see the future, or debatably see the future, or predict bad things from happening, and a part of the Marvel Universe wants to use that ability to kind of stop crime, stop things from before it happening, when part of other people, like Tony Stark, don't want to do that.
It's kind of like Minority Report.
Exactly. Exactly. It's basically a Minority Report. So you have Tony Stark on one end, and you have Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, and on the other end. And so what's interesting I found is, like, I think there are four issues in, and it's a book that is Brian Michael Bendis, and then it is very much him in the sense of it's a lot of talking and not a lot of action, but it ended up actually kind of enjoying
it. But the action will go through in one or two panels, huge panels.
Exactly. But actually I kind of like what they're doing. I like the Civil War story in the Civil War book. There are some big things that happen, and like there's a death of certain characters and what that leads to. I do think there are a great deal of contrivances that are used to make it work. Like someone dies and then you kind of find out why that happened. And there's like a lot of things that, like, well, that doesn't really make sense, but I don't want to give anything away because I know, Chuck, you haven't read any of it. But I do overall like the debate that's going on. I like how it isn't necessarily just rushing into the action, and they're very much aware of the previous Civil War. It's brought up a few times where they're like, they don't want to do that again. They don't want to have heroes fighting heroes again. So they're more reluctant, and it's more of a political debate in a way, and which sounds kind of boring, but it actually ends up working. And there is action in it. And I think the next issue 5, probably is going to be the climax, or not the climax, but more of that 8-page splash page of just pure action as we get with Brian Michael Bendis. So I was overall satisfied with it. I do think I went in with super low expectations, and I do think, though, nearly all the side issues I've read so far have been rather disappointing. I think I read the one that was like solely on Ulysses and who's the Inhuman character, and that wasn't very good. I read the X-Men, the first issue of the X-Men tie-in. That was just stupid. at the end of it was just Storm fighting a cloud. I had a flashback to Fantastic Four 2. It was not good. But one of the better minis that I actually read the most of it so far was the Spider-Man one, because it's the Spider-Man Civil War, and what it is, like, how Spider-Man right now is basically Tony Stark, and Ulysses comes there and he sees that one of the workers was once a supervillain, and he goes there and he says, oh, he's going to become a supervillain again. So Peter Parker tries to do all the stuff to stop that happening, but then it kind of leads him in the direction that he was trying to avoid. So it's a lot of that, like, you know, are you creating the destiny that you're trying to stop by doing these different actions? And it's, you know, that fun little time travel philosophical debate that you can get in. I thought it was, and it was very small scale in the Spider-Man issue, which I think is kind of refreshing. So I did enjoy that. But I think it's good. Like, I think it's something you can definitely wait for and trade, though I did get disappointed in knowing that Marvel's going to do all new number ones again in November with, I guess it's...
Come on, with the number ones.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, everything is getting relaunched. I don't know if that's true, but some of them are. So it's their new thing is, like, Marvel Now, Divided We Stand or something like that. I'm like, whatever. Just make good comics. But, I mean, like, I gotta say that, like, DC's kicking their butt when it comes to quality comics right now. They're cheaper, and they're all, like, no gimmicks. It's just really good comic book writing. So I'm hoping Marvel kind of gets away from this. And, you know, seeing that DC's, like, rocking the sales lately, I think they had, like, 9 of the top 10 selling books in July, which has, like, not happened in years. So, hopefully. But I don't know. Overall, I know, Greg, what your opinions or if anything else you wanted to mention regarding Civil War 2.
I'm not as big of a fan as the talking as you are. Apparently Brian Michael Bendis would get along really well with Kevin Smith. I think it's once again it's a interesting concept how he's going about it. It's nothing new, like we said. It's a kind of Philip K. Dick with Minority Report. But it's interesting, and how the characters are acting to that and interacting is interesting. I would recommend for you, Dan, did you try the Kingpin Civil War tie-in? I've only read, like, the first issue or something, but the first issue was really good. And I've been meaning to buy the other ones, but I didn't get around to it. But the first one was really good. It gives you a different kind of perspective on the Kingpin.
I have that one, but I have not read it, no.
Oh, definitely read that one. It was really good. I did read the X-Men tie-in, and that's just kind of, I don't know, flopping around in the breeze, not doing much. There's nothing really been going on too exciting in the world of X-Men. But so far, Bendis is doing all right with this one. I just feel like it's going to come to not very successful conclusion. It's just gonna fall short of everything else that's been kind of riding high, which is usually what happens with him, I feel. So I have to check that out. But which issue are they on? Are they on, like, 4 or something?
They're on 4 right now, and I think okay. The next one's gonna be either 5 or 6 is gonna be delayed, but there's gonna be 8 issues
tomorrow, yeah. So they spread these things way too far out. Like, they need to go through them a little bit faster, I think.
And it's weird because then, like, you have comics that come out that take place after the events of a comic that's not even out yet.
Yeah, and that's very confusing.
Yeah, so that's that. Yeah. If they could stop doing that, that'd be amazing. So, all right. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about before we take a quick break? Alrighty. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to go into one of our favorite things to do here and have the ultimate super loser draft. We'll see you in a bit.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top 3 list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at incessionfilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we are having a super loser draft. What does that mean? Well, we will be drafting characters from the world of comic books and trying to create the biggest group of losers, I guess. What we're thinking is the lamest, the dorkiest, the plain stupid characters that grace the pages of comics one time or another. And what we'll be doing is at GeekCastRadio.com putting up a poll, and you can vote to see what team is actually the worst. Usually you're voting for the best team. In this case, it's the worst team. And which one it would make perhaps just the most generic and just god-awful comic ever made. So it should be fun. And maybe, you know, sometimes lame characters make great comics. It has potential. Well, Greg, why don't we just start with you and then go Chuck and then go myself. Greg, you're up first. You have to choose a lame character, a super loser. Who are you going with for your first choice?
Since I am a big X-Men fan, I'm going to go with a recent X-Men character. I am going with Gold Balls.
Nice.
Gold Balls?
Yes, Gold Balls. Have you heard of him?
I am not familiar with that character.
Okay. Dan, are you familiar?
Yeah, he just actually started. He just showed up in Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, cool. So, it's like essentially his like when he gets bounced into or just kind of he could kind of release them, I guess. He gets gold shiny balls that kind of bounce from him and bounces all over the place like crazy. So it's like carrying around a giant sack of super balls. And then just throwing them at people, essentially.
Sounds kinky.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, and he's just this like slubby looking dude too.
Yeah, he's a little portly.
Going with Gold Balls, good way to start. You know, go with character with one of the lamest names. So when in doubt. All right, Chuck, we have Gold Balls off the board. Unfortunately, I know you really wanted him. So who are you going with your first choice?
My first choice is actually a character I wasn't entirely familiar with, even though it was created around a time where I started to get into comics, like that era. I was from like right around like the late 80s, early 90s. This is a DC character, and his name is Arm Fall Off Boy.
I actually have him on my list, but nice.
I have him on the list too.
And it sounds like someone that the Hulk named. But basically this dude could rip off his own arm and beat people with it.
Nice.
that used his arms as a melee weapon. So I thought that was extremely disturbing and lame at the same time. So he's my first choice.
That's like when you're given an assignment, it's like, okay, you need to come up with a superhero character in an hour. It's like, oh, that was today? Shoot. he could rip off his own arms? Does that work? All right.
I think you'd want to rip off other people's and beat them with it, not your own. That's just degrading.
It's like one of the actually good parts of X-Men 3 where you have Wolverine like chopping the arms off of that one guy. And then, yeah. So.
And he kicks him in the nuts. Let's see you grow those back.
So there you go. Nice. Well, for my first choice, you know, if you're looking for lame characters, a good time period to go to is actually the 1990s. As much as we love the 90s, they had some fads that made no sense and made some licensed characters that were doomed to start from the beginning, especially when that license is with the NFL. For my
Damn
first
it.
Choice,
I'm going
with NFL Super Pro because that was a character that actually existed. So
legitimately an ex-football star that becomes a superhero, because that often happens. You know, that's actually what Tim Tebow's career now. I bet you he's out fighting crime. So if they ever make a movie, he'd be the perfect person to cast of NFL Super Pro.
Well, the worst part about it was that the logo was plastered everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like NFL, like everywhere you looked, NFL, NFL. It's like, okay, we get it. Football's starting to get pretty big now.
Years later, it finds out he was actually just really on PEDs. That was the thing.
It was Bo Jackson after his injury. He was really pissed off.
Oh, Greg, sorry. Did I steal that one from you?
It was on the potential list. I kind of had a little plan that I was going, so that kind of throws that up, but whatever.
Yeah.
You kind of stole him for me. I actually considered drafting him first.
See? Yeah. That was the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking of lame superhero characters, because it's like, That was a thing that existed. So, all right, Greg, moving back to you. I stole one character from you. Now you potentially steal one from me. Who are you going with your choice for round two?
Well, since my cool little plan I had in my head is gone, I'm going to go with Asbestos Lady.
Son of a bitch.
See, that one I'm not even aware of.
I forget if she was DC. I think she was DC, but she had like a flame retardant suit made out of asbestos, which, as we all know, is not the best thing to cover your body in at this point, because it causes a whole bunch of cancer and stuff. And she apparently has passed away in the comic book world, and they didn't really disclose the reasons. It was like some undisclosed illness, I believe.
She actually died from cancer because of the asbestos. No, I'm being serious. That's what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you found a spot where it actually did say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was Marvel, because she used to fight the original Human Torch back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's pretty pathetic. He create a suit and it ends up taking you out.
Man, I guess it's like opposite Iron Man. It's like, you know.
She you know, she was a asbestos lady. She grew up into mesothelioma woman. Which is terrible. I apologize to anybody that, you know. But, yeah, that's a lame-ass character.
All right, Chuck. Moving on over to you. What's next on your list? Or, sorry, we're not doing a list. Who are you choosing for your number two draft choice?
Number two draft choice. Let's see. I'm gonna go with a character that everybody knows. It's actually pretty popular, probably, but for whatever reason, I've never liked this character, and I always thought she was incredibly lame.
Oh, I know who you're picking.
She's actually from the X-Men universe.
I know who you're picking.
And that is Dazzler.
Oh, I was off by a little bit.
I was thinking Jubilee.
I was also thinking Jubilee.
One decade too late, you know.
Right. Yeah, Dazzler was the 80s pretty much, but I feel like Dazzler's even more useless than Jubilee, because at least like Jubilee's little firework things have some concussive force, but Dazzler's powers, she can turn sound energy into light, bright flashy lights. So I'm like, yeah, that's useful. You know, she might be able to blind somebody once in a while, but I don't know. I just never really cared for that character, and I thought she was really lame. So she's the second member of my lame ass team.
Yeah, like she is not. That's what happens when you build a character that's so very much of a specific time period. It's like, yeah, this will last. this disco fad, that thing, that's here to stay. So let's make a character that's designed off of just that. So for my first choice, I went with something from the 1990s. I'm actually going to stay for the 1990s. And everything in the 90s was extreme, as we know. And then there was actually a character called Extreme, you know. And that was pretty much the extent of his character. So that's where I'm going with for my second choice. His power set was kind of the 90s power set, which was whatever you needed it to be at the time. He had just random spikes and ridiculously looking facial hair. He looked almost like a hipster before it came, and a backwards hat occasionally, because that's how you knew he was a rebel. very much like Dazzler. He, instead of being very much of the 70s, he was very much of the 90s. He kind of embodied everything wrong with that time period. At one point, people actually thought he might be the lost third Summers brother, but obviously that did not happen because he's since been forgotten, and probably for the better. So for my second choice, I'm going with Extreme.
Yeah, I can't figure out how some of these characters were forgotten.
I know. I'm waiting for a new superhero character to be come out that's called On Fleek, and that's the
yeah. We need to get rid of that word as fast as possible.
Yeah, yeah. It's or, well, by it people are saying it, that's a good way to stop it from happening. So, you know, once it gets once the old people start saying it, it's no longer useful. So.
Right. I can see there being a female character called Bay. I'll probably
I'm
like
sure there will be.
Yeah. I'll buy every issue and like set them on fire.
That would be that would, you know, and then the fire just rejects it. It's like, no, I can't. It's not even I'm not too good for this.
This is non-combustible material.
Yeah. All right, Greg, moving back over to you. You had so far, I don't know, so lame I've already forgotten most of your
characters. I've had Gold Balls and Asbestos Lady.
There you go. Who are you going with next? I can only imagine.
I am going with Bouncing Boy.
I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at.
It would have been so much cooler if I actually got NFL Super Pro in there. I was going for a ball theme.
Oh,
I never
would have
guessed that with you.
It's going to be awesome.
I stole your ball dream. I apologize. Yeah. So who was ball? Who was Bouncing Boy? Do you?
He was a DC superhero, I believe. And he just kind of, he was also a portly little fellow, and he just kind of formed his body into a ball and bounced around.
Well, there you go.
He came to get down, so get up and jump around.
Like, when we're coming up with that superpower, not think of, you're going to run out of ideas for having to use this person. Eventually, just running into a ball is not going to help you. But...
yes, he was in the Legion of Superheroes.
There you go. All right. Greg, Chuck, moving on over to you. Who do you have next on your list?
Next on my list, I have this is a character neither from DC nor Marvel, but it's someone we all remember from our childhood, and that is Captain Planet.
He's a hero.
Didn't even think of Captain Planet. Very nice.
Oh man, so lame. Like freaking everybody, all the characters at the time, you know, were fighting these big baddies, you know, apocalypse stuff going on and Onslaught and all these fierce characters, and DC had their crisis and stuff like that. And, you know, and then you have Captain Planet fighting like littering and stuff, which is a great message, but it's just incredibly terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. When like the thing that can kill you is pollution, and there's a lot of that. That's yeah. It's not,
the silver lining, however, is the Don Cheadle version of Captain Planet. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Where he's shooting the laser beams out of his crotch. Starts turning everybody into trees.
So, something good did come out of it. So, at least that's...
indeed.
Nice. So, I'm sticking with my 90s theme. And the 90s, they had a lot of questionable decisions. And I'm actually going with a character, but a specific version of a character, if I can cheat. And sometimes decisions are made and you're wondering, how did that get greenlit? And how do they think that was going to work? Many people, comic fans, are well aware of this, but some people may not be. In the 1990s, Marvel thought, let's just make Frank Castle black. And just because.
I have a couple of those. I think I have that whole run.
Yeah. Just through a medical procedure, I guess the opposite of what happened to Michael Jackson. And yeah, that was a mistake on many different levels. Just trying to make completely change the race of a character, literally in the sense of through a medical procedure. So that was not a good choice. So.
That's when they had guest writer Nicolas Cage after he did the movie Face Off.
Exactly. We look exactly alike. No, you don't. You don't at all. That's not how faces work. That's not how faces work. That's not how any of this works. So I'm going to go with the mistakenly black Punisher when that was not that, you know, it just 19. It just was not a well thought out idea. And it was quickly kind of rewritten. And now he's not that anymore. And I've never really brought up. It's something no one ever talks about, and at least in the comic world. So there you go. That's my number third choice. Swing it back over to you, Greg. We have two more rounds. We're on round four. I know I killed your ball theme, but
I'll still kind of go with it with my next choice. He's actually a DC supervillain, but he's not really that super. He's kind of just the Olympics were recently, and he would just kind of win gold in everything. But Superman could also do that way better than him. And I am talking about Sportsmaster, the king of all sports. He's just really good at sports.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually never even heard of that character until I was watching Teen Titans, or not Teen Titans, but Young Justice on Netflix. I'm like, this is actually a real kid. He's just going to have a hockey mask? I'm like, all right, well.
They actually made decent use of him in that show.
They actually do make decent use of him, but he's still pretty lame.
He's kind of a glorified Casey Jones.
He is, yes.
He's just like a better fighter, I guess.
Yeah. It's just you can make a different. You can change his name. Like, why you gotta go with, like, Sportsmaster? That's it's like sport. It doesn't even sound like a villain name when you think about it. It sounds more like a hero name. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
All right. Chuck, moving back over to you. Who's next on your list?
Next on my list, going back over to DC, I'm going to pick another Legion of Superheroes member. And some of these are pretty pathetic. But this one, I think, is one of the ones, especially with his name, I think one of the ones that takes the cake. And that is Matter Eater Lad.
He was on my list. He was definitely on my list.
Yes. This guy has the ability, he can consume or eat anything, an unlimited amount of matter.
Chuck, you took way too long to explain what his superpower is.
Well,
it's in
his
name.
There's a little bit of science behind it, okay? He's got special digestive enzymes, okay, that can break down any form of matter, whether it be solid, liquid, gas, or anything like that. I don't even know where to start. Like, and the kicker is he can eat those pieces of matter at super speed. So you know, this is the guy you want to take with you to the eating contests and, you know, all that stuff. The Chinese buffet, maybe even have a little fun. I don't know. just seems like incredibly useless power and a terrible name. Like, at least come up with a better name than that. Like,
yeah, Matter Eater Lad. It's like, that's and just going with matter. That's what. All right. So
I don't know what DC was thinking with, like, a lot of their characters. They put lad after it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know why we're doing that. Like, we're not, you know, we're not all in Ireland here. Like,
yeah,
not everybody's a lad.
Come up with the names.
They had, like, Aqualad and all these other ones. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's... I know. I don't know. Like, that was, like, a small period of time where Lad was something that was actually used and considered and made sense. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, moving on over to me, I'm going to go also in the world of DC. And I similar to Chuck, it's a character that is, you had Dazzler, who's a pretty popular character in a sense, has a following, well known, I would say. I guess this one is somewhat the same way, but maybe not in the sense of lameness, because they're so dedicated to a specific time period, but lameness in the sense of, again, just a bad name. Like, that's, you legitimately, when your name is your power, it just seems kind of stupid. It's like, let's make him a flying man, or, you know what, his arms grow really long. Let's call him Elongated Man. again, you have, there's so many people who stretch. I know that's one of those powers. You have Mr. Fantastic, Plastic Man. Plastic Man could also fit here, but I'm going with Elongated Man just because you can't take a name person with that name seriously. It's just not, because their jokes are just right there for you, and you're like, can't not acknowledge that joke. It's right there. You're elongated man, and your ability is you stretch body parts, and so
it immediately piques the ladies' interest when they hear his name. I guess. I don't
know. True. Maybe I'm the idiot, and like he's actually got something. You know, he's actually a genius.
It's like that. Yeah. Like that scene in you know, the Fantastic Four movie where the girl asks him, "So can you extend any part of your body?"
Yeah.
See, actually, I was actually considering doing Plastic Man, because to me, I felt he was a little bit more lame, only because he was like, he's kind of like Jar Jar Binks with like Deadpool's motor mouth. And it's just so annoying. Oh my gosh, I cannot stand Plastic Man. Every time he's like, I'm reading some of my old Justice League comics and stuff, like he's so annoying. I wish he wasn't there. Like, can anybody Photoshop him out of every single one of these panels? Like,
nice. All right. Well, this is the last round, last five. Greg, your last choice. Who are you rounding up for your team with?
I'm going to bookend it, Dan. I started with an X-Men character. I'm going to end it with an X-Men character, and I'm going to end it with the most insignificant, why do you even need this character? I am going with Cypher from the New Mutants. Essentially, Rosetta Stone software. More advanced. That's you could get them for $100, couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
He'd be useful to, you know, high school French students.
Yes, he would have been very helpful to me.
I mean, like, it's like his entire, existence was kind of useless once, like, Tony Stark and Mr. Fantastic created the translator that just does it automatically. So it's like, yeah, we don't really need you anymore. So, but, very good. So you're going with Cypher, yeah. Also, not the most creative name in the world. So what are you gonna do? All right, Chuck. Moving on over to you. Who is your last choice?
My last choice is someone from a branch of a popular team. It's not specifically that team, but it's a offshoot of it. And we're talking about the Avengers, and there was a bunch of different offshoots, but one of the like weirdest ones they did was the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yes, which is coming back this in November.
Yeah. Oh, fabulous. And then I thought, you know, probably the lamest character on that team in my mind was Big Bertha. And she basically, you look at her, she's sort of just the female version of the Blob. But she can increase her mass, and like with that sort of her strength goes up and her invulnerability and all that stuff. But like the weirdest part is like she comes back down to like normal sized woman by doing this thing called power puking. And she just like expels all of her like body mass, body fat, whatever, in like one foul swoop. And it's just like really,
very
really
foul.
Yeah, it's just like, really? Like, that's what you came up with? I don't know. Just terrible.
Yeah. That's one of those things where it's like, this will be great. And it's like, no, that doesn't really work at all. All right. Big Bertha. I was wondering. I had her as a possibility, but I'm not that familiar with Great Lakes Avengers. I know there's a lot of people who love it, so I figured maybe she's a better character.
Familiar with any of these characters, Dan?
Some of them. You know, I read the Black Punisher issues. I know that existed, so, you know. I did not read the NFL Super Pro. I do own them, though, because it was just one of the things. Well, I'm like, well, this is stupid. I'm going to buy it. But
I have
novelty item.
Yeah. I'm gonna.
When everyone throws out their issues of NFL Super Pro, mine will still be worth 2 cents.
Yes.
I've read this.
I will get it signed by no one in particular. Yeah.
By anyone from the NFL. Maybe Roger Goodell would sign it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, he'd probably fine you for having it.
He'll go back and sue Marvel for using their license. It's like, this was something. It's like, Roger Goodell.
You can't find me, Goodell. I bought this while Tagliabue was in office. Nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
I know I don't.
All right. Well, I have the last choice. And, man, it's tough because there's a lot of different places I want to go. A lot of different ideas I have of who I can choose. You know, again, like, part of me, do I go with a lame character? And I'm going to go with this one, even though there was a period in time where this character did kind of get redeemed and was kind of cool. Overall, though, he's just kind of lame, and similar to what you said with Plastic Man, every time I read him, I just wish he wasn't there. It just doesn't work. And I think he was also maybe a Great League Avenger at one time. I'm not sure. I think he wasn't on the Avengers. He was at least on New Warriors, and that's Speedball.
Oh, yeah.
You mean Penance? I think you mean Penance.
Yeah, like when he was Penance, that was actually kind of badass, you know? Yeah, I'm like, wow, that was actually kind of cool. And like, I liked the direction the character went, and it was actually kind of twisted and dark in a good way. But, you know, he's just like, he exists to be really annoying. And, you know, he's the type of the character where other superheroes just don't want to be around. And yeah, he just, I haven't actually read him in comics in a very long time. So I don't know if there's any chance he'll be coming back soon, but
he did come back into the Speedball personality, I believe.
Yeah, I do remember that, but
sounds like somebody that's really into cocaine or something.
Exactly. You name your character after you know, a specific drug that makes you kind of super energetic, and this guy's power is somewhat speed. I don't remember what his power was. It's something with kinetic energy.
Balls.
Yeah. But, you know, his Penix character was twisted, and it was that was when Thunderbolts was quite good, but then now it's awful. So, but yeah, I'm going to go with Speedball for my last choice, just because, again, also an awful looking costume. He just looks ridiculous.
Yes.
So, yeah, from his hair to his colors to everything. So he is my last choice. But all right, well, let's just run through the lame superhero characters that we chose. Greg, I know I screwed up your ball theme, but who do you have on your lame superhero team?
I know. If it was going to be the ball theme I had going on, it was going to be Gold Balls, Bouncing Boy, Sportsmaster, the NFL Super Pro. Yeah. I had like four of them. That was awesome. But anyway, I have Gold Balls. I don't have Gold Balls, but I have Gold Balls. Asbestos Lady, Bouncing Boy, Sportsmaster, and Cypher.
Nice. Chuck, what is your team?
My team is consisting of Dazzler, Arm Fall Off Boy, Arm Fall Off Go Boom. Matter Eater Lad, Captain Planet, and Big Bertha.
Nice. There's a team. Yeah. Big Bertha will eat the guy's arms that takes them off, you know?
I feel like there's a conflict of interest between Big Bertha and Captain Planet.
They actually
like, I feel like they would just butt heads immediately. Like, their just philosophies are totally different.
But then they eventually fall in love, which is, you know, the ironic thing. So.
I wonder if Matter Eater Lad could eat Big Bertha.
that's a eating contest that needs to exist in a comic sometime. There is a crossover that needs to happen today. All right, my team is exactly. My team is NFL Super Pro, Extreme, Black Punisher, Elongated Man, and Speedball. So. That is the way I went.
Yours sounds like the 80s, like a Speedball, Extreme, and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wasn't Extreme the 90s, though? Wasn't that the big thing in the 90s? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
When the X Games started and, like, you know, everything was extreme. So
there was a lot of random characters in the 90s and stuff. I had a couple like honorable mentions, like ones that I seriously considered picking was like Night Thrasher.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Like, every time I see like Night Thrasher comics when I'm flipping through the box, I just keep going. I'm like, sure about that, lame.
It makes me think of the one skit on SNL where I think there was a character called Night Thrasher, and then like someone's like, you do realize, like, a serial killer named himself that, and, like, he has this existential crisis over knowing that his name has been used before by a serial killer. I also, like, speaking of the 90s, too, I'm like, almost anything 90s image in the sense of, like, Youngbloods and, you know, anything Rob Liefeld, but some of those characters, they're just so forgettable that, you know, they don't really even stand out. But, yeah, that was a weird time in comics.
One named Cyber too that was in the Wolverine stories. That one was kind of
He with the adamantium arms and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many X-Force characters like Kane, who was just like there was. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say Strong Guy too when you were talking about the.
I like Strong Guy. He's got a dumb name, but you know, he's a good character. So.
Actually, has somewhat of a personality like that.
Yeah.
You could speak of.
Nice. But we'd like to hear what you thought. Who had the best Super Loser draft? What are some of the worst characters that we didn't talk about? You can do that by going to geekcastradio.com. You can also interact with us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
You can check out my apparent hat discussions at the Create Forge.
And I'm at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg or Gold's Ball.
And this has been Dan. And we've been Extreme Talking in Circles. We'll see you next week.
Somebody take over my name thing last week.
No, we didn't, but we did throw some shout-outs to you regarding some of your most beloved female actresses and things like that. In the end.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
we did do that. We didn't. I kind of said this is Dan and not Greg or Mrs. or something like that, but no. Yeah. We didn't want to steal your thunder.
Pretty cool. I'll be all right with it.